Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us, Steve Jones Show on this Thursday. And don't forget, we're leading into, eventually, the Penn State basketball show from Dame is this evening. Nittany Lions tonight, by the way, will take on Nebraska at the Jordan Center at 8 o'clock this evening. Nebraska broke through with their first Big Ten win of the season, beating Ohio State Monday night. It's amazing how the Big Ten has taken some twists and turns here. Ohio State, awesome start. Now they've lost four in a row. Wisconsin, awesome start. Got to as high as third in the polls. Now, after last night's loss to Minnesota, they've lost three in a row. Northwestern, which was doing nothing, has now won three in a row. Who can figure the conference out? And Penn State looks to break through tonight when they take on Nebraska at the BJC. That's at 8 o'clock this evening. A couple of other notes for you. We'll be going to Super Bowl Media Day next week. Next Tuesday is Super Bowl Media Day. That will take place at the Prudential Center, The Rock, in New Jersey. And we will be in there for that, which means we'll have an opportunity to sit down and talk with Michael Robinson, and we'll have a chance to talk with Jordan Hill. And then it's off to Ohio State the next day. So we have a lot of travel next week, east and west. Go east first to the Rock, and then go west to the Shot. That's what we're going to do next week. So Tuesday, Super Bowl Media Day, Wednesday at Ohio State, and then we settle back in here to the Sunbury Motor Studio. So we'll take the Sunbury Motor Studio mobile next week. All right, looking forward to that very, very much. Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484, or you can go online to rewfinancial.com. Sit down, you talk with Rick, and in just a couple of minutes, he has the ability to make you very comfortable with him, and then very comfortable about what you need to do with your financial situation moving forward. He'll take care of all contingencies. Great confidence in him. And you'll have great confidence in him as well. I'm in the Sunbury Motor Studio. You know, Rick Weibel really has been with us since day one of the show as we head into our third year. Well, Sunbury Motors has absolutely been with us since day one when we started this heading into our third year. Because I'm sitting in the Sunbury Motor Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, which is 11 at 15 in Hummel's Wharf. You know, one quick note, the old knucklehead of the day, Alex Rodriguez, unbelievable. I mean, even the players' union, did you see the quotes from the players' union about how angry they are with him to the point where they want him out of the union? This is the baseball union. That never happens. Unbelievable. Well, let's turn our attention now to wrestling. Next half hour, we're going to turn our attention to football recruiting at Penn State with Greg Pickle of Fight On State. Before we get to that, though, wrestling. They've got Illinois coming up this week. They are going to take on the Fighting Illini, ranked 11th in the country. Nittany Lions, of course, number one. We bring in the play-by-play voice of Nittany Lion Wrestling, Jeff Byers. Hello, Jeff.
Well, nice to be here. I thought for sure when I heard the knucklehead theme coming on that that was the introduction to me, but I appreciate it.
We interrupted with something else.
No, just
I know. Had to take care of that. They're rolling on, but it sounds like outside, like the Altons, for example, are, you know, have done well in other places and not just in front of rec hall crowds.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see here because the coaches are obviously going to have to make a decision here and either wrestle off at 49 and 57 or just make their decisions. I mean, both Zach Bites and James Woolrath have been performing very well and have been making little adjustments here as the season's gone along. And I think I know the coaches love the competitive fire that both of them provide. And the Altons are getting back in form. I think, Dylan, I think, is a kid that's going to be a force here in the postseason. I think right now the jury is out on Andrew. I just don't know that they know yet exactly what they have with him for the remainder of this season. And I think they have a pretty good read right now in Zach Bite. So it's, you know, we're getting to the time of the year here where you pretty much have to make a decision on who your guy is at those weights and run with it. And, you know, it'll be kind of interesting to see who Penn State puts on the mat in the dual meet against Illinois here on Friday night, because we're pretty much done with the open tournaments now. And so if you're going to get competition dates, it's pretty much going to be in dual meets from here to the postseason.
No question about that. Let's talk a little bit about Matt Brown at 174. We talk about so many people. He's at that weight class that is in between Taylor and in between Ruth. It's like, oh, yeah, hey, Brown's doing pretty well. What have you seen from him that the coaching staff really likes?
Yeah, a couple of things, Steve. One is, and you can say this about several kids in that lineup, but his work ethic is just unmatched. I mean, he is a kid that just is tireless in that wrestling room and wants to improve, wants to wrestle the best. I mean, he's one of these guys that seeks out Ed Ruth and David Taylor and Jim Farner and Cal Sanderson to wrestle around with when he's in the room. But, you know, I think the thing that sometimes goes underappreciated, because he's so well known for the grip and the way he goes to the back of opponents' heads and wears them down, but he is a tremendous athlete. I mean, his athleticism, I think, sometimes goes unappreciated by some folks. He's got just a tremendous athletic build to him and an athletic feel for what's happening on the mat. And I really think Matt Brown is positioned him as a run for the national title. The unfortunate thing, if you want to look at it that way, is that he is in a weight class, and I think the top four or five guys there are as deep as really we've seen in any weight class in the last decade or so. I mean, you have four guys there that in any other year, I think you'd feel pretty confident that that's a clear-cut favorite to win the national title. But, you know, he's in there with Logan Storley of Minnesota, and then obviously you have a couple of former champions in Chris Perry of Oklahoma State, who's wrestling very well this season, and Andrew Howe, who transferred into Oklahoma. And I really think those are just four elite kids all at one weight class this year.
No question about it. But when you look at it, you know, David Taylor's 5.2 points per dual meet win. You're looking at Ed Ruth, who is about 4.6, 4.7 points for dual meet win, and Megalutis is 4.3. Brownie's right there at 4.2. I mean, you're talking about he gets bonus points almost every time he wrestles.
Well, and he's a guy, Steve, and he really does wear opponents down, and he picks up a lot of those points in the third period. I think he's second or third on the team right now in terms of third period takedowns in dual meets, and it's just the cumulative effect. He is just a guy that is in your face, pulling on your head, making you work from the first whistle, and eventually, I don't care what kind of shape you're in, eventually that tires you out. I mean, Ed Ruth talked about it a couple of years ago. Matt Brown was by far his toughest competition and route to his first national title, and he said it was because Brown just does not let you rest for a second when you're out there wrestling him.
Yeah, Megalutis has 10 third period takedowns. Taylor has 10. Brown has 9 third period takedowns at this stage.
Just so people know. He's remarkable in that regard.
Yeah, no question. Zane Rutherford, we talked about him. Now, he's been going along. He's averaging about 3.6 points per dual meet win. So he goes out and he's taking care of business. How's he doing with margin of error in third period?
Yeah, you know, Steve, he's a guy that kind of figures things out as the match goes along. And I think eventually he's going to become a dominant wrestler. He's certainly not there yet. And I think it's because it takes him a little while to kind of solve what opponents are doing. And he's obviously one of the most scouted freshmen in the country right now. So folks know what his strengths are, and he's working very hard on his weaknesses and really trying to get up to snuff here in all three positions. And he's always been very good on the mat. That's never been an issue. He's improved significantly from the neutral position, and I think dramatically from the bottom position, and that's still, if there is a weakness, that's still his weakness. But really, we haven't seen it exposed in dual meets, I think, in part because other than Stever, I don't know that he's faced a great rider out there, and in part because he has worked so hard and has gotten to the point where, it is going to take somebody who is really good on top to keep him down. It's still an area that he's working on. But in terms of the third period, again, he's another kid that is just relentless with his work ethic. And we've seen it time and time again this year, Steve, where he'll give up a first period takedown, get himself in a little bit of a hole, and not be able to finish shots in the first period, maybe even in the second. But by the time that third period rolls around, he just has it solved, and he just seems to know, okay, this is what I need to do to win. And it's it's not a situation where he just wants to do what he needs to do to win. I mean, he's going out there trying to dominate. I think at this stage, as a true freshman in a loaded weight class, it's asking an awful lot, but he's getting closer and closer to being that type of wrestler. And to go 20-0 at this stage of the season as a true freshman is pretty remarkable in and of itself.
How's Jimmy Lawson doing?
Well, I mean, he's a little frustrated more than anything else with the knee injury. He obviously wants to keep wrestling. I think he really was looking. I know he was looking forward to that match on Sunday. Felt like he had a chance to maybe avenge a loss from the previous season, kind of prove that that he was right there with the best in the country, and just kind of land on that knee awkwardly. The good news is certainly that he's not going to be lost for the season, and I know he's going to work very hard to get himself back out there as quickly as possible. I think overall his spirits are good because he knows he's going to be able to compete here in the postseason, and that's obviously the ultimate goal for every wrestler. But I also think he's a little frustrated at the moment that he's not able to be out there and continuing to work on the things that he's been working on to get himself where he wants to be at the end of the season.
Nico Megalutis, rolling along, hasn't lost in a dual meet yet this year. I talked about earlier the bonus points he's picked up. I mean, he's averaging 1.3 additional bonus points per win, and we talked about him having those 10 takedowns in the third. So where is the game for him improving and slowing down that's allowed him to be the better wrestler down the stretch?
Well, I kind of compare him and Zane Rutherford a little bit, Steve, in that Nico, the first year, maybe year and a half, that he was wrestling for Penn State, while he was very, very good, he would sometimes fall into a hole in the first period. It would take him a little while to kind of figure things out. Now you're seeing, especially these last three or four dual meets, Steve, I mean, he has come out literally from the opening whistle and been right in on the attack. I mean, he's picked up a couple of first period takedowns within the first 10 to 15 seconds here, and I think he is realizing how important those points early can be in terms of setting yourself up for a major decision or a tech fall later in the bout. He's still relentless in the third period. He's still a guy that that does wear you down. But where I think he has really improved this season, there's some technique things that he's gotten much better on, especially from the top position. But in terms of just the overall mentality, I think it's going out there and making sure he is scoring points, not just setting up his opponents for later scores in the bout. He's going out and getting 2, 3, 4 takedowns sometimes in that opening period.
All right, let's talk about somebody that would be off the radar because he hasn't wrestled in a dual meet, but on the tournament trail, he has 9 pins, 5 tech falls, and he's won 25 times. Garrett Hammond.
Yeah, Steve, he's one of these kids that that knows that the program is looking to him next year to be the guy that steps in for David Taylor. And I have to give a lot of credit here to David Taylor. I mean, he has really taken Garrett Hammond under his wing. David Taylor has taken a lot of wrestlers under his wing here at Penn State. But, I mean, he has really worked with Garrett, and it's kind of funny. I've only had a chance to see Garrett against outside competition a couple of times this season, but you can see that he is working on what David Taylor has been working on in the room. Now, I'm not saying Garrett Hammond is going to be David Taylor next season. I don't think anybody is. But I do think this year of redshirting and getting the competition he has and being in the room with David Taylor, with Ed Ruth, with Matt Brown is going to pay dividends. And, you know, I think he's going to be a guy that's in the mix next year, whether or not he's an All-American, whether or not he's able to compete for a national title. Not sure about that yet, but I think by the end of next season, he is certainly a guy that they're looking to certainly be an All-American. And if he continues to progress the way he is right now, it could be very exciting. He may very well be a dominant type of wrestler by next season at 165. But he's another one of these kids, Steve, that just, I mean, he works his tail off, and he really has an understanding of what his strengths are, what his weaknesses are, how to wrestle to his strengths, how to work in the room to get better at his weaknesses. And I just think this redshirt year is going to prove to be tremendously beneficial, both for him and ultimately for the entire program.
There are certain programs that are the show in their respective sport. At the moment, Alabama's probably the show in college football, even though they didn't win this year. Duke is the show in college basketball. UConn in women's basketball. You get to see in wrestling the show every single time out. Do you take a moment and really reflect on what you're witnessing on a daily basis, and what is it like knowing that you are seeing the show on a daily basis?
Now, it is a very lucky seat to be in. I'm not going to lie about it, Steve. It's I'm very, very fortunate to be in that position. And, you know, I've talked with the coaches a couple of times on the road trips this year. And even, I mean, Cale is genuine when he says, no, I love sitting back and just watching this team wrestle. He just loves the sport enough that he said, I'm really happy that it's our guys, but I would like watching this team no matter where it was, because it's a team that, as you said, it's not just that they're winning, it's not just that they're good, it is that they do go out and put on a show. I mean, it is fun to watch these guys wrestle. They are aggressive. They go after it. They're not satisfied with getting a couple of takedowns. They're not satisfied with winning by a point. They're not satisfied with winning by 8 or 9 points. I mean, they want pitfalls and pins, and they work for it. And, you know, even we've seen some moves this year that have backfired on them, Steve, in different bouts. But it is fun to watch these guys go out. I mean, they try big moves, big throws, big tilts, different positions, and it's just it's an entertaining style of wrestling. And obviously, I mean, the winning helps, and that's obviously what's drawing in the fans initially. But you know, I've had a few people that are friends of mine that are not wrestling fans that I've been able to go to a couple of meets this year or a match here or there, and they have all said, man, I never knew wrestling was that fun. And then they'll watch, you know, one of the Big Ten dual meets on the TV, and they're like, well, this isn't what we were watching. And so it is, I think it's good for the sport to have, again, a team that is as exciting and fun to watch as this one is as well. And it's obviously great from Penn State's perspective that we get to see it on a regular basis.
Jeff, always a pleasure. Appreciate the time, my friend.
Thank you very much, Steve. Always appreciate it as well.
Jeff Byers, play-by-play voice, Penn State Wrestling. He's the finest radio wrestling announcer in the country. And I say that in college wrestling. We're very fortunate here. We have Steve Williams, who does a great job now teaming with Bob Buhner. When it comes to collegiate wrestling, nobody is better than Jeff Byers when it comes to play-by-play of wrestling. All right, recruiting is next half hour. A lot of people now, as you know, there's a fine line as to where I can go with recruiting, but that doesn't mean the guests can't talk about recruiting all they want. It's just I can't talk about names and so forth. They can discuss names, so I'll do my little dance here, leading Greg Pickle into various areas of recruiting. But one of the areas we're going to talk about is obviously numbers. And in the end, remember, Penn State in the end can only have 75 scholarship guys next year. Okay, that is going to be the limit that they'll have next year. The way I figure it right now is they have 49 active guys. Anthony Stanko makes 50. Plus, they have 5 early entries that count on the 2013 recruiting class, the Christian Hackenberg, Adam Brenneman class. So that puts Penn State at 55. Stanko's not active, 54, but Stanko counts. Bars isn't active, down to 53. Those are the numbers that you may see, and of course, it depends on if anybody else gets bumped up in the winter program or so forth. But those are the limited numbers, along with run-ons, walk-ons, that Penn State will have in the spring. That means that with 16 verbal commitments, James Franklin can sign four more. The Big Ten does allow oversigning by three. But Penn State, again, can't have more than 75. That's where the trick comes in, all right? So we'll talk with Greg Pickle of Fight Out State about that and much more. Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484, or you can go online to REWfinancial.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Our thanks today to Rob Krimmel, the head basketball coach at St. Francis in Loretto, to Rob Cooper, the head baseball coach at Penn State, to Jeff Byers, the play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling. Coming up, Greg Pickle of Fight On State. We talk recruiting. Then it's the Penn State Basketball Show from 6 to 7 here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
REW Financial believes in the value of total commitment. We are a working family who strives to prove strength of character by staying independent and core-focused. REW has a commitment to the community and the financial needs of our clients. Let us design your portfolio or retirement strategy. REW Financial, Lewisburg, the power of freedom. Securities and advisory services offered through United Planners Financial Services. Member FINRA, SIPC. REW Financial is a DBA of REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC, and neither are affiliated with United Planners Financial Services.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us on this Thursday. Don't forget the Penn State Basketball Show coming up 6 to 7. Nittany Lion Basketball then tonight at 8 when they take on Nebraska at the Jordan Center. Our thanks, by the way, to Rob Krimmel, the head basketball coach at St. Francis, and Jeff Byers, play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling. Rob Cooper, head baseball coach, going to talk to Greg Pickle of Fight On State in a few moments. New football coach in Cleveland, they finally did it. Finally found one. Good news. What, Mike Pettine, the defensive coordinator of the Buffalo Bills, is going to take the Browns' job. Mike Munchak, by the way, has taken the offensive line coach job with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So that's, I think, for Steeler fans, that's great news. I figure you'd at least be happy.
I'm ecstatic. I love that. Matter of fact, during the basketball game last night, I stopped to even mention it. I was so excited about it.
Really?
Yeah. We had a break in the action. I said, hey, here's some good news.
Well, there you go. Some good news for you. Well, that's how that played out. All right, now the recruiting part, something, of course, that plays out all the time. And let's get to it. Greg Pickle from Fight On State keeps very close tabs on all of this. Greg, welcome back. It is great to have you with us here.
Always great to be on, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Let's talk numbers. In the end, the final number has to be 75 for Penn State. That's right. The single most important number to remember in all the numbers we're about to talk about. Roster-wise breakdown, I've got it at 49 plus Stanko.
Right.
So that means that puts them at 50 because he counts still. So now break down the rest of them. We know the five that are coming in are on the Hackenberg class, right?
That's correct. Our understanding is yes. And what's really made this difficult, Steve, is that everywhere you look, everyone you talk to, the issue that's being made right now is whether all five of those count against the Hackenberg class, which is the class of 2013, or whether just three of them do. The issue here being Nico Robinson and Zaid Issa, who never ended up playing a down for Penn State. Robinson went back to Florida, and Zaid Issa, of course, was arrested and was asked not to come to Penn State. So that's where your issue is coming in right now. Those two, whether they count, if they do, then only three of this class can count back. If they don't, then all five can. And that's where the issue is at right now. So you look at the numbers by the breakdown, of course. You know, again, like I said, there's still some issue of involving how many exactly they can take. We have it pegged at Fight On State at four right now. that they have left to fill this 2014 class with. Of course, with gray shirts and perhaps someone that's committed now may not sign with Penn State come signing day. You never know. That number could change. Right now, we have it pegged at 4, and you know, that's where we're holding steady at this time. But you're right, Steve. 75 is the key number at this point for Penn State fans to keep in mind. At the end of the day, that's the important one.
Yeah, that would be based on, what, 5 early entries that would count on 13, and then the 20. That means they have 16 verbals right now, correct?
Correct. Yep.
Right, so that's how the numbers break down as to what they're doing at this stage. What's been the reaction on the recruiting trail? Now, obviously, I can't get into names. I'm not allowed to. You can talk about any name you want, but I can't because I fall under NCAA rules. But we do know that there are some guys that had verbally committed to Vanderbilt that have now decided to verbally commit to Penn State. What's been the general reaction? Because it's not highly unusual, but still the general reaction.
Sure. Well, the general reaction was, you know, first things first, in terms of what James Franklin has done by making additions to this Penn State class with kids that were committed to Vanderbilt, he's added a couple now. He's added, for sure, we know that Brendan Brosnan and Chance Sorrell, a pair of offensive tackles that were formerly committed to Vanderbilt, along with a quarterback, Trace McSorley, and a corner, Grant Haley, are all committed to Penn State. There's no question about him. A fifth guy, Lloyd Tubman, a defensive end from Kentucky. We're calling him a soft verbal right now. He'll visit Penn State this weekend. He was actually the first guy to flip and follow James Franklin. But Lloyd's still testing the waters. He's going to go to Nebraska next week. He was already at Nebraska. So, you know, he's still looking around a little bit. Perhaps Penn State locks him up for good this weekend. But the reaction of James Franklin on the recruiting trail has been just unbelievable. You know, you talk about not just James Franklin, but the rest of the staff he has out on the road with him, Herb Hand, Brent Pry, Sean Spencer, Josh Gattis. I mean, these guys just relate so well. Bob Shoup, of course, John Donovan. They relate so well with these kids from what we've been told. And Penn State's going to be able to stretch its geography in recruiting because of it. You know, the money quote from Bill O'Brien's signing day press conference a year ago was, "We want to nail the 350-mile radius around State College." Of course, James Franklin from his introductory press conference was, "We want to dominate the state." I think those two ideas of getting Pennsylvania's top recruits and getting in that 350-mile radius are still going to be keys under James Franklin. But these guys bring a wealth of experience of recruiting Georgia and different areas inside Atlanta and California and Florida that maybe Penn State's last staff wasn't able to do. So they've gone down to Georgia and talked to kids. They've been in Florida and offered a kid already. They are making inroads with these schools that are not traditionally known to Penn State fans as programs that Penn State can get kids out of. And I think that's maybe the reaction that has fans most excited, just the areas these guys are going. And then for the kids and prospects themselves, they've just been amazed at the vision James Franklin has and, you know, the pitch he has for the future of Penn State football.
You mentioned the money quote from Bill O'Brien from last year. We want to, you know, basically own that 350-mile radius, which is what, I mean, Joe always talked about. That's the Sever Toretti quote. I mean, he got up and Joe talked about that all the time. One area where Penn State did a brilliant job for decades was they were able to, at for the most part, not always, but for the most part, could really select the guy in Western Pennsylvania they want, target that individual, and have a very good chance of getting that individual. Not perfect, but a pretty high percentage. The last 2 years, and Bill O'Brien would be the first to admit, they couldn't do that in that area. The addition of Terry Smith plus this staff, the importance of opening up the highways into Western Pennsylvania again for Penn State.
Well, you know, it's interesting because if you want to look at that trend continuing, you have Troy Apke from Mount Lebanon this year that Penn State targeted. I'll be very realistic with you. I don't think that if you would have looked at the Whipfield big board that Troy Apke was number one, it probably would have been Drayvon Henry out of Aliquippa who's heading to West Virginia.
Right.
But you're right. With Terry Smith coming aboard this Penn State staff, it's not immediately clear what all areas he'll recruit. You have to think he's going to focus his time in the Whipfield. From the understanding we've gathered, you know, plenty of coaches are interested in getting back in touch with him. Of course, they know him from his days, long days in the Whipfield. So I think that's definitely going to help Penn State get into Western Pennsylvania. But the problem is John Butler got into Western Pennsylvania. You know, he had the aforementioned Drayvon Henry very interested in Penn State. He was recruiting Monte Nicholson from Gateway that's headed to Michigan State. He was recruiting a bunch of guys out there. Alex Bookser, the tackle for Mount Lebanon, Troy Ekke's teammate that's going to Pittsburgh. John Butler and this last staff did get into the Whipfield. They did make inroads, but they weren't really able to close the deal. Can Terry Smith, in addition to this staff, do it? That's going to be the ultimate key. And I think I give him a chance to do so, but I think what will end up happening is we'll look at this maybe a year from now if Penn State lands a couple guys from the Whippy on its 2015 cycle and say, Terry Smith and the rest of these new assistants were the reason why. And that's not going to take away from the effort they put in. But I think it's going to have to be remembered that John Butler really did a nice job. Regardless of what people think of him as a defensive coordinator, as a coach, regardless of all that, I think Penn State is much better standing in the Whipfield because of what John Butler and the rest of Penn State's assistants that were out there, Charlie Fisher as well, did, and of course Bill O'Brien. And I think this staff can just build on that. And I do think we're going to be able to see a turning of sorts with Penn State's fortune recruiting in the West as long as they win. That's always the key with any recruiting. If you win and kids out there like you, you will do just fine. I think they will be liked, and now they just have to get the winning part out of the way.
When they go into spring practice, they'll be in the low 50s on numbers in terms of scholarship players. It's just the way it is. And that's, of course, with the sanctions, that's what it's supposed to do. How important is this class to getting Penn State back on track to a positional balance that James Franklin can work with, and then the addition of the 15 class?
Yeah, it's huge. It's absolutely huge. I mean, you look at these next two classes, arguably the 13 class was the most important class until the 14 class, and the 14 class will be the most important class until the 15 class, just because, as you said, Steve, they have to get back to a balance here, and they have to get the playmakers that, you know, James Franklin, Bob Shute, the defensive coordinator, and John Donovan, the offensive coordinator, won. And that might be different from what Bill O'Brien and John Butler and, of course, Ted Roof before him wanted. So, you know, now we're going to get to watch and see here in the spring if anyone fizzles out. Maybe that's not the right word, but if anyone moves along after maybe seeing they don't fit into the new scheme, so that's going to open up scholarships. But with 14 here, you have some playmakers, and I think that what Bill O'Brien and that old staff left James Franklin and the new staff is guys that can sort of fill the cupboard in areas that it needs filled. Now, are they light on corners? Yes, that's why they brought one in Grant Haley. James Franklin did, and they're going after some more that'll be up here this weekend. You know, do they need offensive linemen? Yes, that's why they're going hard after Maryland five-star Damian Prince. There's definitely not a full cupboard, but I think it's clear as day that James Franklin immediately, upon looking at this roster, saw it needed tackles. Why? Because he flipped two of them to come here, Brendan Brosnan and Chance Sorrell, and you can bet that they're going to keep looking at the offensive tackle spot, the corners and the safeties in these next 14 and 15 classes, as well as linebacker to balance things out. So, yeah, Steve, these next two classes are huge, and it just flows along with the fact that the closer you get to 85, the closer you can get to being more balanced. So, I mean, almost by default, these two classes are huge.
Greg, let's get also into this. While there is certainly a rush here on 14 with the signing day coming up, what kind of indications are you getting because the staff has been together? I mean, seven members of his Vanderbilt staff are coming with him to Penn State, and they're already here. What kind of inroads have you heard already about 15 and 16? Because in this game, you must stay ahead.
You must stay ahead, and you're absolutely right. 16, I will tell you, it's been a little bit of a focus, not much, and that makes sense. By March, that will be a focus. You'll start hearing about 2016. Honestly, probably by the second week of February, once this 2014 class finishes up, and perhaps even as soon as February 6th, you'll hear about 2016. But right now, they're focusing on 2014. They're spending some time with 2015's Russell Oud, a defensive end that we mentioned out of the Atlanta, Georgia area before. Ryan Davis, a 2015 receiver out of Florida as a kid that they keep an eye on. The two guys that Bill O'Brien and John Butler specifically really watched, Archbishop Wood down in Warminster, Pennsylvania, Ryan Bates and Jake Cooper have been visited. So is Sterling Jenkins, a big-time 2015 offensive tackle out in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania at Baldwin High. They stopped in to see Jordan Whitehead, another big 2015 corner target in the Keystone State. So they've definitely made the rounds to junior prospects in Pennsylvania. They have hit on some out of state. There's no question about that. And it will only increase. You know, you're right. The 2014 class, they're in a race here to finish that class. That's why they're having kids up this weekend. That's why they're having kids up the weekend after that. But the inroads this staff has is very big, and I'll point to a 2014 kid to prove it to you. Chris Godwin, Middletown, Delaware, Penn State class of 2014 commit. He knew Josh Gattis, the new Penn State wide receivers coach, when he was at Vanderbilt under James Franklin. Chris Godwin, of course, like many of these kids, was very worried that this new staff was not going to like him, that they were going to want to get rid of him, kick him to the curb, say, see ya, you don't fit our style, go somewhere else. Chris Godwin did not pay much attention to Vanderbilt in the recruitment process. Too far away. This really wasn't school for him, but he did like Josh Gattis. So Josh Gattis comes here. Things are shored up with Chris Godwin, and that proves that this guy can build a relationship, as can the rest of this staff, to a point where a kid feels almost instantly comfortable, not even talking to the guy, just seeing his name linked to Penn State. And I think what you'll see is kids who are considering Vanderbilt, and they may not know a thing about Penn State, that these juniors and sophomores, 15 and 16 guys, will automatically give Penn State a look just because of the fact that these guys are here. They're that good of relationship builders. We've seen it already.
What's it been like for you? Because you went through a period of time in October, November, December, knowing pretty much which guys that Bill O'Brien and his staff really wanted to zero in on, talk to, and so forth. Now they come in and introduce an entire new series of names on top of the ones that have already verbal. What has that been like for you to cover and uncover?
Sure. Well, for the first couple of days, I'll tell you, there's very few words appropriate for radio that describe the process of finding these kids, gauging their interest, and just getting in contact with them. But now things have sort of slowed down a little bit. We figured out the top prospects, and, you know, across the board, all the services out there. Once you figure out, I mean, this goes for newspaper, I mean, whoever's covering this stuff, once you figure out the top targets, things slow down. It's the initial crush of, okay, Vanderbilt has 19 guys committed. How many of them are they going to try and flip? Okay, they were looking at 12 guys that were very high on their board to join that class. How many of those guys will they look at now at Penn State? So initially, you're looking at almost a signing class, a number of guys, 25 guys, 30 guys, that could be coming to Penn State, or at least be looked at to come to Penn State. So that was the initial crux of it, trying to sort through that. And it was interesting. It was very entertaining, a bit hectic at times. But now that it's slowed down, you know, we've been able to pick out the top targets. And those guys, of course, are going to make visits, which make it easier. But I'll tell you what, it's been very entertaining getting to know these guys. I mean, a lot of these kids don't come from the Northeast, where a majority of Penn State, or the guys Penn State were targeting, come from. So they have a lot of interesting stories from their high school days. There's a lot of interesting kids Penn State's looking at. I think a lot of kids Penn State fans will like once they get to know them, if they end up coming here. But it's definitely been a process, Steve. You're right. Just trying to figure out who at Vanderbilt and who was being looked at by Vanderbilt would transfer over to Penn State. Because as much as James Franklin has the opportunity to finish out his recruiting class with guys he wants, he also has the mulligan of not having to worry about kids that perhaps he liked initially but then didn't like closer to signing day, that still had an offer and that they couldn't really get away from unless that kid committed to Vanderbilt. So it worked out a lot for both parties. It's been a fun ride, and we got 2 weeks of the fun left to go here before signing day.
Greg, informative and always a pleasure. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks so much, Steve. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Greg Pickle, Fight On. Appreciate the time that Greg gave us on the show today. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915. Sunbury Motor Company has over 300 new Fords and over 100 new Hyundais that must be sold now. Get savings up to $11,000 during the January inventory liquidation event at Sunbury Motor Company. Liquidation means vehicles need to fly off the lot as quickly as possible, and Sunbury Motors will do what it takes to earn your business now. See all of the great deals on new Fords and Hyundais now, because time is of the essence, and if you wait too long, the new Ford or Hyundai you've had your eyes on will be in someone else's driveway. At Sunbury Motor Company, they never pressure you into buying a vehicle you don't want or that's out of your price range. They want to make sure you're getting the best possible deal with the best possible service before, during, and after the sale. This is the time to buy that new Ford or Hyundai, and this is the place. Stop at Sunbury Motor Company now while the selection's at its best. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com.
All
Well, plenty of guests today. Our thanks to Greg Pickle, Fight on State, Jeff Byers, play-by-play voice of Head State Wrestling. Also, Rob Krimmel, the head basketball coach at St. Francis in Loretto, and Rob Cooper, the head baseball coach at Penn State. A lot going on today. Next week, we're going to be pretty active. Next week, we'll include a trip to Super Bowl Media Day and also a trip to Ohio State on back-to-back days. Other than that, it'll be slow. I suppose you want me to pick you up some souvenirs.
Of course I do. You're going to the Super Bowl, man. I mean, really. You can't come back with nothing.
I'm coming back with interviews, preferably with Michael Robinson and Jordan Hill.
No, that's the work part of it. I'm talking about the other side.
It's a business trip.
Oh, please.
I've got to get to Ohio State the next day.
Blah, blah, blah. Ohio State, it's 80. Head west. You'll hit it.
Well, Dick talked to me about that today. He said, will you drive? I go, no. I'm not driving from there. I said, I'll stop in State College, go Wednesday morning. But I think I'm going to rent a car to go to Columbus and then fly back with the team. I think it's the smartest way to go. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484 or go online to rewfinancial.com.